Bouncing ball, Bichette. This will be a game-ending double play. 6-3, turned by Henderson and Mayo. A big night for the Orioles offense as they take the opener from the Blue Jays 11-4.
And we had no doubt at all that the Orioles were going to win last night, Jeremy. Some people are going to say, well, the Blue Jays were in town. Why did you have no doubt? Jeremy, why do we have no doubt?
Because it was Mo Gabba Day. The Orioles never lose on Mo Gabba Day. They haven't, at least, since they've had it. And it's just another one of those games. It starts off, you see the quick bombs, bang, bang, and then little tie-up, and then they just pull away. And that's what Mo liked, the pull-away games. I thought, I'll say this, even though, like, you know, our station wasn't with the Orioles, they were amazing during everything. Kristen Hudak going way back to making his life better,
and then how
the Orioles and the Ravens opened up their arms and just accepted him. Seeing yesterday all the kids that kind of won the Mo Gabba Award, and it just kind of shows you, like, he's just so special. And I was telling some guys on a podcast this the other day, or actually yesterday, and they were asking me, I said, so tell me about the story again. And so I'm explaining it to them. And if you hear the first Mo Gabba Day with Trey Mancini hitting an inside the park home run and realizing how ridiculous that Trey Mancini hit an inside the park home run, and it happened on Mo Gabba Day when Sun got in some guys, what was it, Lowe? I think it was Josh Lowe. Josh Lowe was in right field and he had his sunglasses on his hat, and the ball hit him in the head, right? And rolled the other way as far away as it could to just allow him enough time to get home and score. So
it was poetic justice also that Trey Mancini would be that guy because of his relationship with Mo, and that was the final game here at Camden Yards as an Oriole for Trey Mancini.
I forgot about that too. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, just a cool day. And I know, like, if you go in to Camden Yards and you walk there and you're going around by the wall with all the Oriole Hall of Famers, right, and you go to the bottom left portion there, you'll see Mo and read his sign because he's an Oriole Hall of Famer and he's an NFL Hall of Famer, which is interesting because he was the first guy to, you know, induct a player in Braille. So I love those days, and I love that atmosphere and seeing everybody involved, seeing all the people that cared about Mo that were at the game. Just a really cool thing, man.
It was a cool thing. It was. And the Birds, like you said, took care of business 11-4 last night over the Toronto Blue Jays. And just, it's almost sometimes you shake your head, Jeremy, because you know how good this team could be if they're just right. Yeah, I mean, last night you have Holiday, Westberg, Adley's back in the lineup. Good to see Kowser go deep for his 9th home run of the year. Laureano with his 15th. Mullins had a great game. He made 2 great defensive plays out there.
Yeah,
I know he stole a home run and he did something else.
Yeah, the one at the wall where he jumped back.
Right, but I thought he hit another play too.
But you know what's funny? He makes so many of those plays that you expect it now. Like, it's not something where it's like you get wowed a lot of times. But I was talking to Glenn Clark about this yesterday, where he's like, what do you think his legacy is here in Baltimore? Maybe legacy is a big word to use.
How will you remember him?
Yeah, easier enough. And I was telling him, I said, it was just one of those guys who was, he just kind of got it.
Grinder.
Nice guy that worked his tail off and was so likable and deserved better than what he's going to get. But because of timing, because of, you know, the finances and what you have in place behind him, it sucks, but it is time to move on.
It is. This is what gets me. Sometimes, well, often we say teams need to do what's right for the business end. And then you get guys where fans are screaming that you keep them. Jeremy, I love Cedric Mullins. You know that. But there's no business reason to keep Cedric Mullins.
Yeah.
There's no business reason. There's only an emotional reason. You start making decisions like that for on the field, then you're making bad decisions. The only decision, you know, what about the great plays in center field, right? Okay.
I'm listening to you.
Yeah, that's not enough for me. It's just not enough for me to keep him. It's time to turn the page and move on. I hope he has a great send-off. If you don't trade him, I hope he has an even longer send-off, to be honest with you. Do your victory lap, bro. I'm cool. I like him. I love the guy. That's why I hate having these conversations. I love Cedric Mullins. As a player, as a person, I mean, he just there's nothing not to like about him. However, statistically, it's one of those positions where you, like when you say with Ryan Mountcastle at the beginning of the year, you could do better at that position. Well, you can do better at that position. It's
those
center
are
field.
The two positions we pointed out.
Yeah.
And again, if you want to say, okay, Colton Cowser moves to center field, then it's a corner outfield spot where you improve. I'm listening to you either way. It just gives you options. The part of this that's tough is that Cedric has given you every reason to like him. And I've said this before, from a business standpoint, it's better to get rid of a guy too soon rather than too late. And what are we saying right now where it's like, and I don't mean get rid of, but you get what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to trade him,
yeah,
I want to trade him earlier than when he doesn't have any value at all. And he's going to have some value here because he's so good defensively.
Exactly. That's why. You know what I mean? Some playoff team who has it all except
the Dodgers make the most sense.
Exactly. Like,
put his ass in center field. Let him run down everything. You got two strong arms over here.
They've got enough offense to be able to put him somewhere in that lineup. Who knows? You might put him in that lineup. He may finish out strong with all those hitters around him.
How many times has he caught fire? And carried, like, again, one of the players you love, but I'll go back to it. It's, if you're looking at Mountcastle now, who may be back soon enough, and I think he's raking at Norfolk, it's like, okay, should they have made that move sooner than later? And do you let this kind of run its course and not get anything for him? When you got Kobe Mayo waiting in the wings, and he's swinging a sweet stick right now.
With the Braves, for the most part, being out of the playoffs, if he goes to the Dodgers, Cedric, I'll be pulling for the Dodgers because I would love him to get one.
Yeah,
but with the Braves in the playoffs, screw them Dodgers. We would be remiss not to say this, man. Hats off to the bullpen last night.
Yes,
Zach Eflin did not have his best performance. He goes 4 1/3 innings. Tony Mancelino comes in, gets him out of there. Chris Martin. Comes in and does his thing for, I'm sorry, Chris, Corbin Martin comes in, does his thing for inning and 2/3, then Selby, then Wolfram, and then Stroud looks strong.
Yeah.
He looks strong.
By the way, two times in 3 days, the pitcher turning around, and I'm sure Sed's used to it by now, taking his cap off, going, damn, man, thank you. Thank you. You can do it British. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's like, you turn around and you have somebody making that type of play when you don't have your best stuff. It gives you confidence coming to the next inning. And it was a great hitting environment yesterday. And you could see that right off the bat. We talked about that in the Daily Line yesterday, that it was one of the best hitting environments all day because of the humidity.
Bassett would have been better off having a tee at the plate and making them hit off the tee. Maybe they would have hit more of the tee than they hit the ball. He was horrendous. But I think a lot of it was what you said. They were getting everything.
Bassett's been bad on the road this year. His ERA is way higher than what it is at home. But you also, like, I'm still kind of impressed at him calling his own game because he has so many different pitches.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing? Yeah. It's almost like he's got his own little side accordion here, and he's hitting those keys, let him know it's low and outside, curve.
And Brendan Little, I don't know what he was throwing. Yeah. He's throwing beach balls.
And by the way, they were talking about how great he was. Like, look at his ERA. He's had more appearances than anybody in baseball, any reliever. And his ERA's in, I'm looking at his whip going, yeah, he's been a little lucky. He's been lucky. Come on. Come on. You don't have a whip in the ones an ERA in the ones and a whip that's like 1.25.
It's 1.32 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. that's for a reliever. That ain't good.
With an ERA like that,
But a reliever can't be an elite reliever and put one an inning on.
So I just want to explain why I'm saying he's been lucky, because if you're putting guys on consistently, it's a recipe for disaster. So what's happening with him, the same way if you look at Yusei Kikuchi, he's a guy that puts guys on and he gets strikeouts, right? Because he has that high K total.
Right.
You go look at his numbers and he'll punch guys out. Whereas this middle reliever who does have some K ability, you're hitting bats. And if you're hitting bats and you're relying on double plays to get you out of jams, at some point it catches up to you.